And go to the book of Job. Job chapter 2. And we're going to read verses 1 through 10. Job chapter 2, verses 1 through 10. And I will read the odd verses, and if together we can read the even verses. Job chapter 2 and verses 1 through 10. Job chapter 2, verses 1 through 10. And let's go ahead and stand as we read the Word of God this morning. Job chapter 2, verses 1 through 10. Again, there was a day when the sons of God came to present themselves before the Lord, and Satan came also among them to present himself before the Lord. And the Lord said unto Satan, "From whence comest thou?" And Satan answered the Lord and said, "From going to and fro in the earth, and from walking up and down in it." And the Lord said unto Satan, "Hast thou considered my servant Job, that there is none like him in the earth, a perfect and an upright man, one that feareth God and escheweth evil? And still he holdeth fast his integrity, although thou movest me against him to destroy him without cause." And Satan answered the Lord and said, "Skin for skin, yea, all that the man hath will he give for his life. But put forth thine hand now, and touch his bone and his flesh, and he will curse thee to thy face." And the Lord said unto Satan, "Behold, he is in thine hand, but save his life." So went Satan forth from the presence of the Lord, and smote Job with sore boils from the sole of his foot unto his crown. And he took him and potsherd to scrape himself withal, and he sat down among the ashes. Then said his wife unto him, "Dost thou still retain thine integrity? Curse God and die." And he said unto her, "Thou speakest as one of the foolish women speaketh. What? Shall we receive good at the hand of God, and shall not receive evil? In all this did not Job sin with his lips?" And let's pray. Father, I do thank you for today and the opportunity we can be here. We do thank you for the Word of God and how you've preserved it for us so that we can have it today. And I pray, Holy Spirit of God, please, you'd help us to be able to hear the Word of God this morning. I pray that you open up our hearts, open up our understanding so that our faith can be increased by hearing your Word. I pray that you'll preach with your powers. It brings a message to us this morning. And Lord, we'll give you all glory for what you do. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated.
All right, and if you would, keep your Bibles open to Job chapter 2. Of course, I want to continue in the life of Job as we preached out of Job chapter 1 last Sunday. The title of the message this morning, "The Opposition Will Never End." The opposition will never end. And we see here in the book of Job the opposition from Satan against Job because of his faith and trust in the Lord. And you'll see similar conversations between Satan and God, as Satan is saying, "Have you considered Job a perfect and upright man?" And of course, we know in chapter 1 that Satan said, "Well, he doesn't just follow you or believe in you for nothing." In verse number 9, "Then Satan answered the Lord and said, 'Doth Job fear God for naught? He only fears you because all that you've done for him.' And therefore God allowed Satan to have permission to remove those things from him." Of course, he lost all of his wealth. He lost all of his servants. He lost all of his help. His business was done. His children died in a quake where a building, their house crashed and killed all 10 of his children, all in within a matter of hours. And now we see that Satan is going once again, and that's where I understand something about how Satan operates. He never gives up. And have you ever wondered that? You know, maybe you as a kid, you know, there's always that person that never gave up and just kept going back for more. I remember as a little kid wrestling with my older brothers, or wrestling with my dad. Of course, they'd always beat me, and I'd get hurt or sit over there for a little while, cool off, and then I'd come back in and say, oh, you want some more, huh? And Satan's the same way. He never quits. He'll keep coming and coming and coming. And that's why as Christians, we've got to be vigilant. We've got to be ready, because if Satan is attacked 20 years ago, you'll be sure he's going to attack again. You say, well, you know, I had some battles in my youth. I had some battles as a young married couple. I had some battles, a while back. Understand, there's going to be more battles to face in the life of a Christian. And if we look at our country, there's going to be some more battles we're going to be facing as a country. You look at our country, you look at what's going on in our society, we are in a mess. You know, it's nothing, anything common to go to a gun store and to try to get some ammo or buy a firearm, and they're all sold out. I think people are panicking. People are understanding the seriousness that we are in, because there's a group of people in our country that want to have anarchy. They want to overthrow the government. We've got the leftists that want to defund the police, and understand how many ways that will go wrong, and understanding that God has given us government to give law and order and to chase after the evil and to keep the wrongdoing from being done. And so we live in a day and age where everything wants, it needs to be free. All tuition, phones, food, insurance, everything needs to be free. And understanding we cannot continue the road we're going without major consequences. I watched a video this week of and they're not protesters, they're rioters. Protesters are peaceful. Protesters don't burn down buildings and deface government property and hurt people. Of course, for days, all you heard was a 17-year-old shot two people, and the police did nothing. Well, they didn't show you the video of people beating that little kid with a skateboard and standing over him with a gun, and he shot back, defending himself. But we live in a day and age where you can't trust the media, you can't trust what you hear, and because it's on the internet, you have to question everything, because it's amazing. Some people think that because it's on the internet, it must be true. Understand that you have to do your fact checking and make sure that what you're seeing, what you're hearing is right. And so we live in a day and age where a lot of people don't understand what's going on and what's at stake. We are in a battle, and in the next few years, we are going to change quite a bit. You understand, I all my life I've thought, well, there's so much has to happen before the Lord comes back. You know, we've got to go to a one-world economy. There's going to be, there's going to be come together of this one-world religion. Well, there's been practices, and this is in the works for years, but now we see how far our country has changed in the last 2 years, the last 10 years, the last 20, 30 years, how far we've come, far beyond what we would ever have imagined. Before the internet, back in the early 90s or the late 80s, if we would look at news clips of what we're seeing now, we would all say, there's no way. It's impossible. But yet, here we are, and how fast this has come to be. And through the help of the virus, understanding that Satan will never quit, never give up. We live in a day and age where a virus, where people are afraid of each other, afraid of touching, passing money. So, boy, this is going to be another benefit to use the implant. Of course, there's those, one being Bill Gates, of course, a billionaire, the owner of Microsoft, pushing microchips on wanting everyone by 2025 to be microchipped. And to the younger generation, boy, to be able to unlock your car, start your car, be able to have all your finances. Boy, how cool would that be? Never to have to lose your ID or lose your information. But to older folks, and of course those that know Scripture, that the technology is there. There's people in other countries that have already been microchipped, and to think we're seeing the beginning of the end days. I truly believe that with all my heart. This is the beginning, as the Bible says, in the end days there'll be pestilences. I believe there's already talk of another virus that's going to be coming. I believe this is just going to be one of several. And so there's a lot of information out there, of course, that claimed that the virus that's here was man-made, and of course, no doubt that Satan's behind it. Because if I would have told you at the beginning of 2020 that every church across America would be shut down, you would have said, "Preacher, there's no way." But yet, through the use of one virus going and spreading globally, every service we read a missionary update. Every missionary tells of what they're going through and how they've been affected in another country. And we live in a day and age where we are, and I truly believe this, and you can say, "Preacher, that," and I understand the virus, the mask helps the spread, and wash your hands and be safe. And I'm not saying not use common sense. But we're living in a day and age where the government has had more control than it's ever had, mandating and telling you what you have to do, and therefore prepping us to obey in the sense of just following what we're told. But the Bible tells us we're to obey God rather than man. And I said last week that Pastor Jack Treiber had a notice taped to the front door of his church, a cease and desist order that was commanding him and his ministries that if they were to meet, they would have repercussions. So what did they do? They met Sunday morning. They met Sunday night, like a church should. Guess what? Monday morning, they got a fine for $10,000 because it's a $5,000 fine for every time they meet as a church. You cannot tell me, of all the countless churches across this country and some in Kentucky and others, that the church is not under persecution. This last week I saw a video of a black gentleman standing in the middle of protesters holding up a sign that says "Jesus saves," and they started persecuting him, throwing eggs at him, cursing at him, spitting on him, throwing flour all over him, spraying silly string all over him. And of course, he had a great spirit. Of course, you can tell he's a genuine born-again Christian, and he's not going to let it bother him. Trying to proclaim the fact that the only way to overthrow hate is with love. You're never going to overthrow hate with hate. And the love of Jesus Christ is the only hope for our country. But yet we live in a day where we understand our country has changed. I don't know if it'll ever be the same. And I'm not here to be a doom and gloom. I'm not here to depress you. And if that's but the reality is we are in a mess today. And when you look at the situation that Job was in his life, it was all doom and gloom for him. And the situation in which he struggled. But I want to understand something as we look at Satan and how he attacked Job. It's still how he works today. Satan will never quit. It's going to go from one thing to another. Isn't that the way life is? Boy, it's just one thing to another. Let me tell you, it's going to go from virus to this, to that group, to that group, to this, this cause and that cause. And it's never going to stop. Over the last 30 years, all the different groups and things attacking the church and attacking the morals and the standards of our country, and to utterly destroy the classic home. And in the classic home, I mean a father, a mother, and children. that no longer will that be, and it has not been the normal for quite some time. And we see the church is under attack, as we see on the news of so-called Christians and so-called pastors, shaming the church of God and shaming the cause of Christ. And why? Because Satan will never stop. And we see in verse number 1 of Job chapter 2, the very first word, it says, again. Again, there was a day when the sons of God came to present themselves before the Lord, and Satan came also among them to present. So we see in chapter 1, he went to the Lord, got permission to touch everything that Job had. Then we see he comes back for more. Because he encounters this understanding that Satan realized that his attack did not dent Job's faith. That Job's faith was still his trust in the Lord. So now he simply comes back to persist for more permission, to do more to the life of Job, and to renew his attack against him. And it's this quality about Satan that we need to understand, the enemy that we face today, remember, because it's relentless in his attempt to destroy Christians. Why the church of God cannot sleep. This is why we cannot, as members, just become comfortable to watching our services online. I'm grateful during this time we have the opportunity for folks to watch our services online. But this is not what God intended. God intended for us not to forsake the assembling of ourselves together. How can we encourage one another like we can in person? Understand, there's nothing like watching a ball game on television, like being there. Those different events, those are different. Let me tell you, there's nothing like being in the house of God, singing the songs with the people of God, and hearing the preaching of God in person. And I'm grateful for those that are watching. I'm grateful and will continue to have this available for folks that cannot be here. But to the Christian who is healthy enough to go to work, go to Walmart, go shopping, go on vacation, we're healthy enough to come to church. Amen? And at church, we're trying to do everything we can. But as I talked with Brother Bobby Polyzopoulos, who was here yesterday, showing on the progress of the work, he stood there and he just said, the most discouraging part as a pastor is the fear that's within Christians that they won't come to church. And that they won't go, that they're afraid to go shopping, they're afraid to go to work, they're just in this mindset that they can't do anything in life. Understand, God has given us common sense. And we should use that common sense. And the longer I'm alive, the more I realize common sense is not common. But the sense that God has given us, we should use it. We should wash our hands. We should wear a mask in and out of the building. We should make sure we social distance ourselves. But you can come to church without even touching a door. You can walk in, sit down, hear the message, and go back out the same way. Understand that we can't allow fear to keep us from doing God's will. If we allow that to change us, then Satan has won his first round of attack against the church. Now, luckily, we have not had a cease or desist order placed to our door, but what would happen? If it was a personal fine for you to come to church, how would you handle it? Forget that, preacher. I'm not coming. But it's so hard enough to get people to come to church before the virus. Boy, as a pastor, we were just sharing how discouraged, and how I mentioned this morning how much you've encouraged me by seeing all the cars in the parking lot, thinking, "Wow, boy, this is great." You know, seeing four or five of the same cars every week, seeing people come to church, how wonderful this is. But as we see, Satan, he's not going to stop. When the virus is done, it will be something else. Understand, there will be another attack. Over the years, it was on standards. Over the years, it's been over the King James, the attack on the King James Bible. It's been attack on standards. It's been attack. There's always been an attack on the church of God. Because Satan does not stop. He is relentless. He has been trying to destroy God's best ever since the Garden of Eden. And though he has failed many times, many, many times, as long as we are a threat to him, he will not stop. You want to know a good way to gauge how we are doing in our Christian walk? How much Satan's attack is against you? How much we're doing to present the gospel? How much we're doing to try to fight against the lost dying and going to hell? How much we're investing in missions? How much we're doing for the cause of Christ? That depends. If life is good and boy, life is, and there's never any problems and all is quiet. No, I start to get worried when there's no problems. I start to get worried when everything's going just right, because that means something I'm doing wrong, because Satan will always fight as long as there is a threat. And hopefully that fight is within you until you die. I hope that as a Christian today that you're willing to fight that old Satan and continue to serve the Lord, and understand as long as you serve the Lord, you will have an enemy. You know, as long as American we stand for freedom and a stand to defend the smaller countries and the defenseless, and to be there as an aid and an ally to those that are being oppressed, we will always be hated as an American. They don't know you. There's countries that would kill you just for stepping across onto their borders. I remember I'm reading a book on the Six-Day War of the Israeli War back in the 60s and 70s as that took place. And as America was in its own war in Vietnam, Israel fought against three other nations. And some has been shared of modern day history before going back to the Six-Day War, as it was in during the Desert Storm, as it was an order or command given to the entire army or to the nation to find an American. Could be a journalist, could be a Red Cross person, it could be a relief aid, it could be a missionary, could be any. They wanted to try an American, put it on trial publicly for all the atrocities, of course, that they say America did in invading them as they invaded Kuwait and other countries. Didn't matter who you were. Understand that today, say, well, I've always tried to do good. I've never hurt anybody. Why would someone hate me? Because if you stand for right, evil will always be at your doorstep. And today, as we serve the Lord and understand greater is He that is in you than he that is in the world, understand it's not a time that we say, oh, life is over, life is coming to a gloom and doom and everything is just terrible, I'm so depressed. No, this is a day and age in which we get to shine brightly. And as there's more people to witness to, amen, as we get to show the love of Christ, and understand that this is a day and age in which we can give the gospel, in which people are wondering and thinking, boy, if I were to die today, no greater time than we can have to give the gospel. You know, one of the times that I'll always take as a pastor is the opportunity to give the gospel is doing funerals. I say, preacher, do you like doing funerals? I hate doing funerals. There's nothing I'd rather pass over. There's nothing I'd rather not do than a funeral. It's heartbreaking to see family weeping and moaning. It's heartbreaking to see a mom and or a dad or a husband or wife or a father or son or father or daughter, mother or daughter, all of that separated. And it breaks my heart, but no other greater opportunity do I have to give the gospel than people are understanding that life is not certain and life is not forever. I'll always give the gospel. Understand what greater opportunity we have this year to give the gospel to a lost and dying world. Understand, if ask the question, if you were to die today, are you 100% sure you'd be on your way to heaven? Do you know that heaven's your home? Understanding that Satan will never quit. That as long as we are on the Lord's side, Satan will be the enemy, with the crosshairs on us and upon us. And his attempts, he will attempt to do the impossible. Look at verse number 3. It says, "And the Lord said unto Satan, Hast thou considered my servant Job, that there is none like him in the earth, a perfect and upright man, one that feareth God and escheweth evil, and still he holdeth fast his integrity? Although thou movest me against him." You know, in one of the greatest compliments that was ever given to General Robert E. Lee during the Civil War was his audaciousness. And in that, I mean that he was so confident in his troops and in his soldiers that while on the battlefield, he would attempt to do things that no one else would ever even attempt or dream to try, just in the sense of failure. If we were to fail, this would be catastrophic. He did things that no one would seem to expect because of his faith in his troops. You know, Satan is audacious and he's bold. How bold was Satan as he went before the Lord and he's continually accusing you and me? You know, Revelation chapter 12, verse 10, he's the accuser of the brethren. And the Bible tells us in verse 10 of Revelation 12 that he does it day and night. So guess what? You say, well, I confess my sins in the morning. Well, guess what? At night, he's going and accusing you of all the sins you've done during the day. The Bible says he goes day and night accusing us before God. Why would he do that? To try to bring God's judgment upon us? Why did he go and take everything that Job? We see God says, although thou movest me against him to destroy him without cause. Satan was trying to get God to destroy. Satan was trying to get God to do his work for him. That's how audacious he is. He's trying to convince God to punish us for our sins. And therefore, do the devil's work for him. But God understands Satan's plan, and he understands his motive, and that's why God called him on it, verse number 3. But as you look, verse 4 and 5, it says, "And Satan answered the Lord and said, Skin for skin, yea, all that a man hath will he give for his life. Put forth thine hand now and touch his bone of his flesh, and he will curse thee to thy face." You know, the reason that the devil is called the accuser of their brethren as well as the father of all lies is that while God is truth, the devil, he's the opposite of that. Everything that comes from Satan, you know, it is the foundation of falsehood and lies and false accusations, as that is his weapons against the Lord and God's people. But Satan here is telling God that when it comes to living, all people are the same. That people will do anything to save themselves. And we've seen in floodings, hurricanes, storms, we've seen the worst of people that people can do, but we've also seen the best of people. People giving and helping and opening to strangers. People are not all the same, but that's what Satan thought. Oh, you touch his body, you touch his health, he'll curse you because everything about a human being will want to survive. But yet, that's just not true. They are willing to do anything to save themselves, but Job was different, and Christians are different. You know, I believe with all my heart as we celebrate Memorial Day, and we celebrate the day that Americans, thousands and thousands upon hundreds of thousands of Americans throughout the centuries have died to keep America free. Just think of the last 100 years, all the battles of Americans that have died, patriots that have died to keep our country free. And they have willingly laid down their lives for this country. And I believe that they'll continue to lay down their lives for their country as long as they believe that their sacrifice will be a help. And I believe that Christians have been willing to surrender their lives for their faith. And for their sacrifice, God one day will reward them for the martyrs, for their martyr, dying as a martyr with a special crown. You look throughout history, you'll know this to be true, because persecution has been upon the church ever since the church began. In the early, in the book of Acts, we see that the church was persecuted and the Christians were scattered abroad. In John 16, verse number 1, it says, "These things have I spoken unto you, that ye should not be offended. They shall put you out of the synagogues. Yea, the time cometh that whosoever killeth you will think that he doeth God's service." Isn't that what happened to Paul? Here is a stout Jew, a part of Judaism, going around killing Christians, thinking he's doing God's work. In verse number 3, "And these things will they do unto you because they have not known the Father nor me." You know, Baptists have always, as I've taught on a little bit about Baptist history and the foundation of our faith, going back to the early church in the book of Acts, not to a person throughout history later on that was a foundation or a religion from another religion. No, our ancestry, our history of our faith goes back to the disciples and the apostles in Jesus Christ as he founded the church of God. But these persecuted the Baptists have suffered from the hands of organized religion. Some of the most zealous religious people in the world were the ones doing the persecution. Ignatius was a bishop of Antioch, and he was a fierce defender of the faith and a very vocal person against infant baptism. And because the enemy of the emperor Trajan, he had him arrested, transported him back to Rome, and had him fed to the lions. Polycarp refused to bow to Caesar and renounce Christ. As a result, he was ordered to be burned alive. He was tied to the stake and his body was lit. But his body refused to burn, so those that were watching, those people were so furious and so out of desperation, the officials came and stabbed him until he was dead. See, there are those that are willing to sacrifice and give of their lives. Satan comes to God and says, if you touch his body, if you'll just remove your hand from his health, he'll curse you and he'll die because all humans are the same. Not when it comes to patriots. We've seen many Americans lay down their lives for their brothers in arms and for their country. When it comes to Christians, there's many of Christians who have died for their faith. Constantine, who is known to have started the Catholic Church and served as the emperor and the first pope, he too persecuted Baptists of his days, as they were called, the Novatians. But in England, Baptists were put to death, and 1154, a group of Paulicians moved from Germany to England. They were branded on their foreheads. I know Brother Heiger talked about Samson this morning having his eyes plucked out. But these Christians that moved to England in 1154, they had their foreheads ironed like cattle, branded, were a mark where they would forever be known that they were a Christian. They were whipped publicly in the streets, where their clothes were cut very, very short. And if you've ever gone to, we've been to Ireland, I've never been to England, but Miss Wells, you probably attest to this, it can get very cold there. They would cut their clothes as close as they could, exposing their extremities, and force them out into the wilderness, where they would die from starvation or being killed by wild animals or from freezing from the elements. Very cruel, but yet, Satan, somehow you're wrong in your position. You're wrong in your thinking that Job is going to curse God and die just by attacking his health. Because, see, a Christian does not hold his life dear. See, a Christian understands Christ died on the cross, and our job is to live for God, not for ourselves. In 1534, King Henry VIII issued a decree that gave Baptists 12 days to pack up, or leave, or suffer the consequences. And those, many Baptists, were burned at the stake because they were considered heretics of their day. But yet, going through time and time again through history, there are many Christians who have laid down their life for their faith. Many have given their life because they put their faith and trust in Jesus Christ. And I'm grateful for that man in Charleston, South Carolina, that in the middle of the protest was able to endure the flour and the cursing and the spitting and the eggs and the silly string. But there's those that have lost their life because of their stance on the cause of Christ. And if we understand that Satan has been against the Church of Christ ever since the beginning, how are we to think that Satan no longer will still attack? Understand, as you look at our society and you see, well, oh, that's just this, that's just that, it's just this group. No, it's Satan working in the background. I don't want our church to ever let Satan have a victory, or even have a glimpse of victory or hope of victory. I want our church to continue in our faith promise missions. I want our church to continue in soul winning. I want our church to continue in staying faithful to the Word of God. But I believe many Christians across our country will change how they serve the Lord, will stop serving the Lord, will quit giving the gospel. Understand, Satan's not going to quit. And if it's the virus in 2020, next year it'll be something else. And those that are persecuted, we understand churches in America, we have, at least in the last 100 years, have not truly understood the freedom that we have. There's even persecution in America from the 1500s to the 1600s that have happened here on our shores, of Christians and Baptists, even in Massachusetts, one of the where the first martyr took place. But understanding Satan and his plans, he's not going to quit, which is why we cannot allow ourselves to be relaxed. Which is why, as a husband and wife, you can't relax in your faithfulness and your love for each other, because Satan, as a roaring lion, he's going to sneak in and attack. Moms and dads, you can't relax in the raising of and rearing of your children and a godly home and the standards and structure you put up, because Satan, as a roaring lion, is trying to get in through the walls. He's trying to get in through the phone lines, through the internet, through the telephone. He's trying to get in through the radio and television waves. He's trying to do everything he can to destroy the young hearts and minds of the next generation. He's not going to quit. And understanding that as a Christian, we need to be ever vigilant. We need to ever be in the Bible. We need to be ever praying with the Lord and walking and growing in our faith and our trust in God. Because Satan knows the power of pain. Look at verse number 6 and 7. It says, "And the Lord said unto Satan, Behold, he is in thine hand, but save his life." God gave him permission. He said, go ahead. If that's what you think, Satan, go ahead, but you cannot kill him. Verse number 7, "So Satan went forth from the presence of the Lord and smote Job with sore boils from the sole of his foot unto his crown." All over his body. You know, torture has always been a very effective way to get information. But yet the problem with that is it's not always accurate information. Because the reason is people will say or do anything to get the torture to stop. But Satan knows the physical pain and the suffering, it's extremely motivating. As Satan goes to Job and takes away his health, gives him sores all over his body, immense pain. And his goal, therefore, was to create so much suffering, so much pain, to stop the Christian from relying upon God. I don't know why it is that we go through the things that we have to go through. But what is it that's going to stop you? I love the quote Brother Hager's been mentioning in Sunday school about the judge of a character is what it takes to stop you. And Bob Jones had said, Senior had said, what is it that will stop you from serving the Lord? What is it that will stop you from attending church? What is it that will stop you from giving the gospel? What will stop you from sharing love and forgiveness to your fellow man? We see that Satan's plan is to discourage the Christian, to defeat him by problems, trials, discouragement, pain. But yet we know even Job will use people. Sad breaks my heart that folks throughout the years, I've been in church long enough to know that Christians have left church because of another member, or left because they got upset about someone or something that someone said. Understand, even Satan will use people. He'll even use good people to his advantage. Look at verse number 8 and 9. It says, "And he took him a potsherd to scrape himself withal, and he sat down amongst the ashes. Then said his wife unto him." You ever notice something? I heard a comedian use this as a punchline. But I never really thought about it. You know, Satan took away everything that Job had. He took away his wealth. He took away his health. He took away his children. But he left his wife. Makes you wonder what kind of a wife Job's wife was. But keep this in mind. Satan did it on purpose. Because he knew the influence and the fellas, you'll understand, and the wives, you'll understand the influence that you have on your husband. I'll say something, my wife will look at me and bat her eyes and like, okay, we'll do it your way. Because a husband wants to please his wife, and a wife does have great influence over her husband. I believe Satan left her alone for this very reason. Look at verse number 9. "Then said his wife unto him, Dost thou still retain thine integrity? Curse God and die." Now I believe Job's wife was a godly lady, and I no doubt that she had gotten to the point that she had seen her husband suffer to the point, probably thinking of the mentality of why? Why bother? Why not just give up and just be done with it? Why endure any more pain? Why endure any more sorrow? But yet, go about it the wrong way. She was nothing more than a pawn being used by the devil to discourage Job even more. Sometimes God will use those closest to us, or Satan will use those closest to us to discourage us. But we can't allow it. As we understand how Satan operates, it'll help us as Christians to understand and notice those things in our lives that we will not make that mistake. And I praise the Lord for the influence and the example of Job, that he did not fall into those attacks that Satan gave, and that God was glorified and honored, because the Bible does say whatsoever that we are to do, well, whether it's to eat, whether it's to drink, we are to do to the glory of God. And I'm paraphrasing that. But understand, everything in life, God has created you for a purpose, and that's to glorify and honor him. And if we allow Satan to get to us, to defeat us, to quit us, or to get us to quit serving God, how is that glorifying and honoring to the Lord? Job endured, and for the worst year of his life, he endured that suffering. 365 days. He never once got to the point where he sinned with his lips. Now look at the difference. Job chapter 2 verse 10 says, "And shall we not receive evil in all this? Job did not sin with his lips." But if you'll go back to Job chapter 1 and verse number 22, the first time that Satan went to God about Job, and he took away his children, his wealth, we see in Job 1:22 it says, "In all this Job sinned not." You'll see a slight difference between Job chapter 1 and Job chapter 2, where it says, "In all this did not Job sin with his lips." See, before it said, "In all Job did not sin." Then in Job chapter 2, it says he didn't sin with his lips. There was a battle going on in the heart of Job. I'm sure that Job contemplated what his wife had said. I'm sure that Job had felt the pain, knowing the pain firsthand. Suffering, wondered why God was doing what he was doing. Maybe playing the blame game. Wondering, God, what are you doing this? Why do I deserve this? But yet, we see that Job didn't sin at all. Now we're being told that he refrained from sinning with his words. The difference is that, in fact, Job may have sinned in his mind. He may have sinned in his heart by having sinful thoughts. He is human, after all. He is of human nature. But in spite of all that, at least he kept his mouth shut. Was it a complete victory for Satan? No, absolutely not. And through Job's life and through his testimony, though there might have been a slight weakening of Job, the devil did not get what he was looking for. And understanding that as a Christian, when hard times come, when persecution comes, we can continue to stand in the faith. We can continue to stand tall. We can continue to stand for each other and to pray for each other and to encourage each other. Because let me tell you, if persecution came to the early church, and through the dark ages persecution came where Christians were brutally murdered, and the persecution of Christians, even in our world today, in the Middle East and around other countries that are atheist, how do we not expect any persecution to come into our lives? I'm saddened to see that many Christians, if the pews aren't soft enough, if the air temperature is not just right, if the preacher doesn't let out on time, well, we're done with church. That's our limit to how much we can serve the Lord. But what a shame that is. Hopefully this morning, if nothing else, you'll determine to get some grit down in your heart and in your soul that you're not going to quit. You're not going to give up. And in the trials that come into your life and the persecutions that you may face on a personal level, maybe a young person at school being made fun of for carrying your Bible or talking about Jesus or praying at the lunch table, you're not going to allow others to discourage you. You're not going to allow Satan to keep you from glorifying and honoring God. But I look at the life of Job, and I'm so grateful that in his life, he fulfilled the purpose in which he was created to do. He brought glory and honor to God. How much would it take to stop you? How much would it take? Someone to call you a nasty name? Someone to throw flour on you? Someone to throw eggs at you? The church has been under persecution ever since Christ founded it in the book of Acts. And Christ died for it. But we got to understand, dear Christian, the persecution's not going to stop. And we look into the book of Revelation. We look into what Christ is telling us is going to come. It's going to get worse. It's going to get much worse. And I hope that you'll understand that if you decide now, every purpose, every reason that comes into my life is something that God wants me to glorify Him and honor Him. Maybe we can face the problems a little bit better. A young lady that was suddenly 15 years of age, suddenly cast on to bedridden, paralyzed on one side and blind in one eye. She heard the doctor come over and tell her parents, poor child, she's seen her best days. Hearing that, she did the best she could of rolling over and said, oh no, doctor. Oh, my best days are yet to come. Because there's coming a day where I'll see Jesus face to face. Let me tell you, as the things go on in this world, it should just cause us to become a little more uncomfortable. And by that I mean not settling down and making this world our home. Because the Bible tells us our home, if we've accepted Jesus Christ as our personal home, as our Savior, our home is in heaven. We've got a mansion waiting for us. It's not this place. It's not this world. But by the time that we have, I hope that we'll serve Him and give Him all that we have. give Him all the glory that we can, because He is worthy and deserving of it. As you look at the news and to know what's going to come in the future, it's discouraging. I'll admit it. It's depressing, and it makes my heart break, and it makes my heart heavy to think about what people are going through in America, Christians around the world. But we better decide in our hearts when persecution comes knocking at our door, when the bad news comes from the doctor about our health to us, how are we going to handle it? Are we going to blame God? Are we going to get mad at God, or understand that Satan's been trying every method available in his arsenal to try to discourage the Christian? Don't let it get to you. You ever been told that? If you've had a sibling, you've probably had your parents tell you that. Don't let him, my mom used to say, he's just trying to push your buttons. Don't let him get to you. And when my brothers were older than me, it was like, Mom, it's hard. He's hitting me. No, you can't let things get to you. I'm so glad the man that was interviewed after he was supposedly humiliated with eggs and flour and silly string and cursings and spit. And he said, I just felt like a cupcake. Throwing eggs and flour. He goes, I just want to share the love of God. I used to live on the streets. I was arrested, I think he said, either 19 or 23, something like that. He was arrested those many times on the street. He got saved. He's going back out to the streets. But what a testimony. But some Christians would have said, that's it. Got my favorite shirt dirty. I'm going away. You're not being nice. Fine. Understand, this world will only know Christ by our love. And through all that Job went through, he never cursed God. He never blamed God. At the end of the book of Job, we see Job praying for his friends. And we see the love that Job had. Let's glorify God in our lives as well. Let's pray. Dear Lord, we thank you for the